75 years, Christians were not allowed to be members of the Communist Party in Russia. They were denied a lot of privileges just because they outwardly confessed Christ. They were not allowed to attend the universities. Many of the better apartments were denied to them. There were inferior housing. There was inferior housing that was often kind of earmarked just for the Christians. They were definitely a very marked people. You weren't allowed to hold a government job. Anything that had to do with government money oftentimes overlooked the Christians. And yet, interestingly enough, despite all of that, during that 75-year period of very outward physical oppression of the church, church attendance in Russia, Christian church attendance, stayed at about 12 to 13%, which may not sound a lot, but compared to other Western countries in Europe, which had the freedom to worship, there it was probably under 5%. Most of them averaged around 2 to 3%. So isn't it interesting that through the system of a communist, a government-led program, they tried to crush out and stamp out the Christian church, and yet in places where there was absolute freedom to worship, the devil had even a greater time there. It would have been challenging during those 75 years for Christians, I'm sure, in Russia to live being so singled out, to be so segregated and identified and earmarked, if you will, as members of the population. Sad to say, that day could come in the United States. Who knows? We're already hearing stories of Bible-believing Christians being denied certain access to certain university programs. What distinguishes us so dramatically from the unbelieving world? Well, our Lord addresses that in his prayer to his Heavenly Father tonight. It's the Word of God that distinguishes us. It's the Word of God, if you really think about it, that God has used to come down into our lives and to grab us and to pull us and segregate us out from the unbelieving world. And to distinguish us then as a unique flock, a unique church that listens to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And Jesus says in his prayer to his Heavenly Father about his believers, I have given them your word. It's this word that comes from heaven that Christ has taken and through the Holy Spirit given to us, the believers, that now makes this classification for us and distinguishes us in this world. It's that very word of God that comes and teaches you and me the reality and the truth about our spiritual condition, that we are wicked, evil, sinful people on our own, and that not a single one of us, certainly not me included, has any hope of entering heaven based upon our goodness. Not a chance. But it's that same clear, truth-telling word of God that also comes to us and brings us to the foot of the cross, our Savior, that teaches us of the holy, perfect sacrifice of the Son of God on behalf of everybody here tonight and the sins of the whole world, how he shed his blood to forgive and grant forgiveness for all of our sins. And it's that very word of God that comes to us and teaches us that the only hope we have of heaven is through faith in Christ, in whom we have been wrapped in the righteous, holy, perfect robe of his perfect record. And so it's that word of God in our lives that not only teaches us who we are and what our problem is, but more importantly has brought us to a knowledge of the Savior and has now dressed us in the robe of his righteousness. So this wonderful word of God is what has now distinguished you and me in the eyes of God and actually the eyes of the world from the wicked, unbelieving world that is around us. And Jesus now goes to his Father the night before he goes to die on the cross. He goes to his Father in prayer on our behalf, and he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. That's a great line. Let's make sure we hear that. These believers he's describing are not of the world in the same way that he, the Son of God, Christ himself, is not of the world. Notice how firmly and with such certainty, when the Son of God addresses where you and I belong, it's not iffy, it's not maybe, it's not a possibility. He speaks of us as citizens of heaven right now through faith in him. And as you leave here tonight, make sure you leave with that absolute certainty that because of your Redeemer, you can know 100% positive that you have everlasting life. That's how our Lord speaks about you. It's kind of nice when we hear that people are praying for us, and even times when we didn't know it. Think what we have here. The Son of God himself, the second person of the Trinity, God of God, is saying a prayer to our Heavenly Father on our behalf so that we will be taken care of in this wicked world. However, that same Word of God that has selected you and me and segregated us out from the unbelieving world, that same Word of God puts us in a relationship of animosity with the very world we have been pulled from. It now puts us into an antagonistic situation where we're probably going to face difficulty, persecution, ridicule, and other things like that. When I was in college at Mankato State, one night a friend and I were driving somewhere and we had to get a key from one of his roommates because he had lost his key. And in order to find his roommate, we had to go into a house downtown, and I didn't know anybody in the house. There were about 30 people in there, and it was probably about 11:30 at night, and it was a big beer party, and everybody was completely hammered, completely wasted and drunk. And as we walked through there looking for his roommate to find the key, I remember hearing people making fun of us and things, and I felt so out of place. I felt so out of place walking through there. The Christian in this world has been given the sobriety from God of knowing and seeing and understanding the truth of human condition. But the world is full of the intoxication of materialism and all of the wickedness and evil and unbelief that's around us. And so as the believer walks through this world, through faith in Christ, by God's grace, there's oftentimes going to be ridicule. We're going to feel strange. We're going to feel a little bit out of place with how the world looks at us. But we should understand that's just part of belonging to the flock of Christ. Dr. Franz Pieper wrote this: "We must remember that here on earth, Christians, just like Christ himself, are woefully underrated. The world is going to despise us, in other words. The world's going to laugh at us and mock us, just as they did Christ himself. So we shouldn't be surprised when it happens to those of us who by faith cling to him." But in our text tonight, notice that there's a reason why Christ has left us in this world, even though we're so out of sync with it. Listen to his prayer. He says to his Heavenly Father, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world." I want us to really stop for a moment and consider what Jesus is saying here about you and about your life. Okay? The very Son of God himself, the one who has come into this world to make sure that you and I get to go to heaven someday, he is now praying about your departure that's coming up someday, that you're going to someday go to heaven, but he's also praying that departure for you would be delayed. He's asking his Heavenly Father not to do it too soon. He wants your presence in the world to be used to benefit his kingdom. And you're tempted, and I'm tempted, to think that our lives have no purpose and value? The Son of God himself, the King of Kings, has made the decision that you should be here right now, around the people that you're surrounded with, that you should be in the positions in life that you are in, the offices that you're in, the vocations that you're in. He has placed you very, very specifically where you are, and has even asked his Heavenly Father to let you stay there until the time comes, because he has something he wants you to do toward his kingdom. And so staying here for us is going to still present us with a challenge, because we are in this world, but we are not of the world. Jesus prays for us, "I pray that you would keep them from the evil one." And so how does he do that? How does he preserve us and safeguard us in this world? He says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." That same word that picked us up and brought us into the kingdom of grace is the very fortress and the walls that will protect us from the calamity coming from the unbelieving world. It is your relationship to Christ through that powerful word that not only identifies you as one of his own, but also makes you untouchable. Dr. Jean Edward Veith writes this: "The church may shrink to a faithful remnant, but the church of Jesus Christ cannot be overcome by the gates of hell, much less by a culture." So take heart. We are on the side of the one who has defeated death. Amen.